Meditation.
Depending on the quality of my mind.
You know, there's good days and bad days. And good days as well.
Feel like the waterfall of thoughts. And every now and then, a nice calm.
I can't think of anything.
This is Meditation in the City.
The Shambhala, New York podcast.
And I'm Dave, your host. What do you think about when you think about enlightened conversation? I picture a room full of very fancy people with trays floating around with little fancy hors d'oeuvres and hushed conversations, pearls and expensive watches. This is not a comfortable situation that I think about. Well, and maybe you think about something equally uncomfortable for yourself when you think about this notion of enlightened conversation. Well, this is why today's talk is so good. Natalie Baker gave this talk a couple weeks ago at our weekly Dharma gathering about the lost art of good conversation, which happens to be the title of the recently released book by Sakyong Mipam Rinpoche. He is the head of the Shambhala Buddhist lineage, and his latest book is all about how conversation, just normal people like you and me, having conversation can contribute to create, promote, inspire an enlightened society. Sakyong Mipam Rinpoche is going to be in New York the weekend of November 3rd. You can see him. There are tickets still available. Go to ny.shambhala.org to find out where and when and how. And in the meantime, here is Natalie Baker.
So we'll start with the bad news. We're living in degraded times. We have lots of examples in our experience of people communicating from impulsive, strong emotions, such as anger and fear. There's a lot of confusion, feeling chaos. The environment doesn't seem to be working properly. And so there's lots of destruction, uncertainty. People seem motivated by material things, accumulation of stuff, greed, not too much interest in spiritual practice, letting go. This is what the Buddhist teacher Padmasambhava said in the 9th century. He said, we're living in the dark ages. But it kind of is very similar to our world today. So the Sakyong Mipam Rinpoche, who is the current head of the Shambhala lineage, which is part of the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. He starts out his new book that just got released today, The Lost Art of Good Conversation, by reminding us of Padmasambhava's prediction that starting in the 9th century, we were in the Dark Ages, where people wouldn't really want spiritual teachings unless they felt like they got something personally attractive to them from them. That people would act more like barbarians than human beings who are decent. And it's interesting that the Sakyong chose conversation and having conversation as an antidote to these degraded times. That thrills me because I have been passionate about how people can uplift and connect through conversation for many, many years. So I was very excited that this book was coming out. How are you guys doing? So tonight's going to be a little different, the format. I'm going to talk a little bit about some basic Shambhala principles. Who is familiar with the Shambhala teachings, or has read the Shambhala book, or done a level, or one of the Wednesday nights? Okay, so quite a few people. Great. So I'm going to start by talking about how is it that we could use conversation, something as ordinary as talking to each other, as a way of creating an enlightened society or creating a sane community. How is that possible? And from the Shambhala Buddhist point of view, anybody want to guess what the main principle is of the Shambhala view that makes it so that conversation could be used as part of the path? Anybody can just blurt anything out. Ah, David. Yes. So I say this every single time I teach. One of my teachers, Kenpo Namdrol Rinpoche, when I first started studying with him in early 2000, 2001, I was very annoyed because he kept saying the same things over and over again. And I was like, you know, I wrote it down. It's in my notes. Why are you saying it again? And it took me a few years to realize that the reason he was saying these things over and over again was because, A, we need to hear things over and over again in order for them to sink in. And B, if they don't sink in, then we're just our ordinary, confused selves, and we're not actually then holding a different idea in our minds. So I have adopted that repetitive style because it's been very helpful for me as a student. So in the Shambhala teachings, and in fact the entire Buddhist teachings, the main principle that allows for us to wake up and become sane, happy individuals is because within all of us, in fact, every sentient being, including fruit flies and cockroaches, is a seed of sanity, not a literal seed. But that energetically, we all hold wisdom as our nature. So crazy Aunt Susie isn't fundamentally crazy. So the confidence in basic goodness is not a concept. It's an experience that arises in us. It's not inherently a label, but there's a feeling of certainty, there's a feeling of upliftedness. And it's from that energy that we could cultivate having conversations with others. Now, of course, that's not how we typically approach communicating with others, right? Usually when we talk to others, we have some degree of discomfort, uncertainty. For those of us who are extroverts, it's easier. But for those of us who are introverts, there's often a feeling of wanting to hold back or hide out. Because for the most part, we're not quite sure about ourselves and what we have to offer when we engage with other people. So we're going to do another exercise. And this one, if you're up for it, requires you to relate with the people around you. So we're going to take a bit of a leap. So just like in our sitting meditation, in how we approach conversation, our posture matters. How we hold our bodies matters. So we're going to, again, lead with the experience here. And what I want you to do is I'm going to have you turn and face a few different people. So if you don't mind, turn and face somebody who's next to you. Say hello. So what I want you to do is I want you to first start by rolling your shoulders forward. And I want you to kind of look downward. Even though there's somebody sitting in front of you. And I want you just to pay attention to how that posture feels. And then I want you to slowly roll your shoulders back and raise your gaze and meet the other person in the eyes. And I want you to notice what it feels like to sit up and make eye contact. And now I want you to have the person on the left, my left, I want that person to roll your shoulders forward again and slump. And the person who's on my right, I want you to notice how you feel with that person's posture now changed again. And now the person on the left, I want you to sit up straight again and make eye contact. And now the person on the right, I want you to roll your shoulders forward. Bring down your gaze. And just notice what that's like. Okay, now you can take whatever posture you'd like. So one of the first things we have to do if we're going to change how we have interactions with others is we have to slow down and start to notice. So anybody want to share what they noticed just doing this simple exercise? It can be anything.
Well, the inward one felt just horrible. But then, really, really extraordinarily. But then when I sat up straight, Then I became very afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I felt all this fear, and I tried to work, you know, breathe and mm-hmm. reassure myself. But mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's really interesting, right, to see that just the simple gesture of opening up your chest and sitting up straight can rouse fear. Right? So thank you. Now we know one of the things, one of the emotions we have to work with in communicating with others. What else? What else did you notice? Yes.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah. It does feel like somebody's giving us something, right? When they assume posture, looks like they're making an effort. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, it seemed very intimate. I try to look at people in the eyes when I talk to them, mm-hmm. but I don't think I usually stare into their eyes for long periods of time. And I don't even know him, you know, so. so I don't know if I was scared as much as it felt a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
He blinked, I blinked, I wanted to, you know, scratch my head, and so I guess conversation between two people is I guess it's extrovert introvert. I assume extroverts can do it better than I can. I tend to be more introverted.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. What else? What other things did you notice? Yes, this woman here.
Well, yes, it was very, I really related to the intimacy, but also open. Like, I felt myself so open.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess living in New York, you know, it's like you're just, you know, you're not that open.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So very open.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, something as simple as adjusting your posture, being aware and adjusting your posture, yes.
Yes, I also noticed that when the other person had her shoulders slumped, I didn't see her so much as a person anymore. She was just this, you know, it's easy to just walk down the street and not see people, especially if they're slumped over or turned, or you're not mm-hmm. seeing them straight in the face, so it's easy mm-hmm. to just not have feelings for them mm-hmm. in that way, which was pretty frightening from my side.
Right. Thank you. Take the two in the middle here.
When I sat up, it felt like I'd involuntarily entered a status game.
A what game?
A status game.
A status game. Did you win? No, we don't win. Thank you.
When my partner was slouched down, I had a different sensation than the woman over there. I had a sensation that of sadness and of a loss of connection, and I almost wanted like my heart to reach out and lift the person back up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if maybe I did the practice wrong, but I felt something maybe different. I actually liked when she when I saw her holding in, because I felt that like I was compassion might have arisen,
mm-hmm.
and I had the feeling of wanting maybe to just protect her
mm-hmm.
or tell her that everything would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a posture of a very sincere posture, more than uh-huh. lifting your face up as we usually do of pretending, well, not pretending, but everything is okay. No, we are.
Right.
Most of the times we feel that we want to bend our head. And
right.
when I bended my hand, I felt much more sincere towards her than when I put my head up.
Right, yes. Well, that's a very good and very important topic, which is genuineness, right? How do we invite ourselves out of our habitual patterns, right? So, you know, this tends to be a posture that we go into when we're afraid, and we kind of keep it for the rest of our lives, right? We tend to protect our hearts, right? So there is something honest about this posture and it reflecting feelings that we have, right? And then when we sit up straight, right, it feels forced. It could feel inauthentic. And what the Sakyong, Nyipam Rinpoche, and as well as his father before him, was that we can actually have good head and shoulders as our armor going out into the world, because this posture actually communicates our human dignity that we are forgetting when we slump over. We're forgetting our basic goodness. And, you know, for many of us, right, we weren't raised with this message of you're, you know, fundamentally workable and let's, you know, uplift and bring you along, right? A lot of us were raised with the opposite message, you know, you're worthless, why don't you try harder, I'm disappointed in you, right? So often it's our early experiences that create this habit of wanting to protect our hearts because we've been hurt, right? People have been mean to us, including our parents sometimes. So we're in a very honest predicament in our situation. But what we're being invited to do from the Shambhala point of view is to practice doing something different, which is practicing leading with an open heart and looking for and trusting in the basic goodness of ourselves, the person we're having the conversation with. And the Sakyong, in his book, says that we need to lead with respect, kindness, and decency. So you can think about how in your ordinary conversations that you have throughout the day, how can you make those conversations come from a place of decency, kindness, respect? But one of the things that we can start doing is remembering that everybody has the right to have their basic goodness acknowledged, held as part of any conversation, regardless of who they are and what their status is, that we can hold that in our minds when we say hello to somebody. So we're going to do another practice. And this we're going to do with multiple people. And what I want you to do is, actually, we're going to have everybody stand up. And I want you just to notice what it feels like to stand up. So I want you to find somebody else around you and face them. Say hello if you haven't already. So
even acknowledging someone who is in our presence, right, could be a way that we communicate respect and kindness and decency. But often, right, I think we can all think of moments where we've been in somebody's presence and we just ignore each other. I'm going to pretend you're not here and you pretend I'm not here and we'll just be awkward, right? So we could just do a very simple thing of saying hello to and acknowledge anybody who happens to be in our presence. Okay, but we're going to do something that's just slightly more complicated than that, which is what I want you to do is someone's going to speak first and the other person is going to listen. And the person who's speaking, I want you to describe your present moment experience. And it could be anything. It could be what you hear in the room. It could be thoughts you're having. It could be sensations in your body. It could be emotions. It could be things you see. But what I'd like you to do is to just speak your present moment experience. There's no such thing as a wrong present moment experience, by the way. So, and we're just going to do that for a second, and then I'm going to have you switch. What did you notice doing that exercise?
So, since we started out with the exercise where we had to look someone in the eye, I actually, without even realizing, made a better attempt to not look away when I was talking, because I realized even I'm here with one of my closest girlfriends, I look away from her all the time while I'm talking to her. And it didn't occur to me that it was just something that I like really did. Mm-hmm. So now I'm very conscious to that. And I was like really focusing on like eye locking.
Great. Thank you.
I feel that it got a little bit easier the next time and the next time, which is really good. It was also easier when we were talking to look into like the other person's eyes and look straight at them than when we were quiet, because it was just, I guess, talking is a little bit of a distraction, so it doesn't feel like you're so like confronted with another person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also noticed as it went, it was completely different experience with the three different people, of course. But and when one of the persons told me that they were soothed by the noise, all of a sudden I felt this like soothing rush through my body, and then I had expressed it to the next person, and they told me that they were then soothed right when I said that, which was kind of a cool experience. So just wanted to share that.
I thought it was interesting that we did the same exercise several times with different people, because I noticed the first time I was telling the person how I was feeling, it was probably pretty genuine, and then by the second and third time, it was like the story of what I told the first person. And then for a while, I thought like, well, but how am I really feeling? Because that is kind of old.
Right.
And I was like, wow, I don't know. Like, what am I feeling? So I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Yes, thank you.
So I noticed a lot of what everyone already related, how every person seemed to get a little easier. But the one thing that I kept coming back to was that initial feeling of looking someone in the eyes and having them meet your gaze and both of you not running away, but the impulse you feel that makes you want to run away. And I related it to a conversation I had earlier today where I did run away and I kept running away. I kept trying to bring myself back, and it was like a toddler falling over and over and over, and it was painful. But then relating that to the experience of just looking someone in the eye and pushing through that initial to realize that you're okay. And I every person that I went to and had that experience with, I just, that was the present thing in my mind, just relating to that feeling of like balancing on the head of a pin, it feels like, kind of, when you're looking someone in the eyes like that.
Thank you.
I just want to say that by making the sort of content be just present moment experience, it allows you just to be with someone and not have any agenda, not try to make them like you or wonder if they like you or want to get something from them or wonder if they want something from you. And so normally I'm noticing how a lot of my interactions are, I have an agenda and I wonder, is this the time? Should I get to it? Should I get to the point? Or how do I say this? But to just be able to be with someone, period, just to be with someone and have no agenda is new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
This made me really happy because I felt like I really like people, and I felt like I enjoyed interacting with each person that I met for the length of time that I did. And I guess I mostly talked about their how they were striking me and making me feel happy. And I don't feel like I was doing that with an agenda. I feel like I just felt good to be with someone else, mm-hmm. talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Well, as might be expected from my previous comment, that it was very different for me. I read an article on the Times, Anxiety in Teens, and they talked about exposure therapy. So I was thinking, okay, this is kind of like exposure therapy for me. But the trick is that I don't seem to get is the learning from it. You know, I do this often. I'm with people, I experience the anxiety, but I don't learn that, oh, see, it's not so bad. The old loop just mm-hmm. keeps going.
Right.
And I'm having trouble moving into a different way of seeing things or myself.
Well, it's kind of like the meditation instruction that we give ourselves, right? That the expectation when we sit down to meditate is not that we're just going to sit here and have no thoughts arise or no disturbing emotions, right? The expectation is that we will be distracted, right? Something will arise. And then we'll wake up and we'll realize, wow, I totally left my breath and I was off thinking about that problem with work. And then we gently label it thinking and we come back to what's happening in the present moment, right? And so we could also take that attitude with our anxiety, right? That we have to lay a foundation, because if we don't have a foundation, then there's what's the structure built on, right? So the foundation here is that humans are workable, that their basic nature is sane, it's wise. That's the foundation. But of course, that's not what we experience, right? We experience our anxiety. So then we give ourselves an instruction to do something different. And that different thing is, maybe my anxiety isn't actually all that meaningful. Maybe coming back to the present moment that I experience through my sense perceptions, right? Maybe that is actually more important than that habitual anxiety that just keeps re-arising. Right? Who isn't riddled with fear? Nobody, right? That's our basic challenge. And actually, that's our last topic, and I have 3 minutes for it. What to do with the emotions? Oh, my goodness, right? Because that's really what gets in the way, is we have emotions, and I'm sure you all felt different emotions arise as you were doing this practice,
But what we typically do, which is not so helpful, is we're unaware of them, or we're aware of them, and we assume that they're true and real and meaningful, and that we should act them out, right? And so anger becomes name-calling, or giving somebody the cold shoulder, or passion becomes trying to get them to like us, right? Or fear becomes running away and never looking at people in the eyes and then wondering why we feel so alone in the world. So our challenge is to wake up to the fact that we do have strong emotions, but from a Buddhist point of view, the emotions are not, you don't need to act them out, actually. It's more like we did in this practice, where you just try to be aware of them. Oh, I'm fearful, and so I'm looking away from this person. Or, oh, I feel a lot of lust towards this person, so my face is getting red. Whatever. And to allow ourselves to become aware of our experience and allow ourselves to keep our attention in the present moment. And part of our attention in the present moment is that we are having emotions. They are arising, just like the thoughts arise. But that we don't necessarily need to go into action on them immediately. That's the hard part, because that's one of our strongest habits. We act out our emotions. And so instead of being present with people, right, we're trying to seduce them, or we're trying to hurt them, or we're trying to convince them of our point of view. Okay, clearly this needs to just be part two of a talk, and I'll give it some other time because it's 8:30. So it's like dot, 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 dot to be continued. So we're going to have some refreshments, and please continue to practice what we're learning here about the art of good conversation. So to, in whatever way you can practice respect, kindness, decency, whatever way you can connect with your experience of basic goodness, try to hold that in your mind for the next day or two and just see what it's like to practice communicating with other people. And just in a very, very ordinary ways, right? Very immediate ways. And just see what that's like. Because what the Shambhala teachings tell us is that when we practice being able to have good head and shoulders, to connect with people through kindness and decency, that actually we create energy, we uplift, as people noticed when they were interacting. So the experiment here, the hypothesis is that if we can practice this, we're actually uplifting ourselves and the people we communicate with. And so then, instead of being drained by our interactions, we actually create more energy, and that energy sustains us and helps us move forward. That's the theory. We're all the guinea pigs. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Natalie Baker. Visit us at ny.shambhala.org for all of our upcoming courses, weekend retreats. Again, Sakyong Mipam Rinpoche will be in New York the weekend of November 3rd. You can find out information and get tickets on the website. You can purchase the new book, The Lost Art of Good Conversation, anywhere books are sold. Highly recommend it. Email us at podcast.shambhalanyc.org. Your questions, comments, suggestions. If you happen to live in a different city, there's probably a Shambhala Meditation Center near you. where you can go and hear talks like these live and in person, get meditation instruction live and in person. But if you are in the New York City area, come say hi. Our weekly Dharma gathering is every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. You can hear these talks live and in person. And thanks for listening. Later.